mystery lovers are mourning the death of a master of the genre. Phyllis Dorothy James, Baroness of Holland Park, died today at the age of 94. Better known as P.D. James, the creator of the cerebral detective and published poet Adam Dalgliesh. Her 14 books in that series sold millions worldwide. Though her novels centered around death, Baroness James herself was full of wit, as we discovered when we spoke with her in 2005 after the publication of The Lighthouse, her 13th Adam Dalgliesh book. Our interview begins with Baroness James reading an excerpt in which Dalgliesh and his team had just been called to a case on an isolated island retreat. But one member, Detective Kate Miskin, has some reservations.
Somewhere, as yet only imagined, a body was lying in the cold abstraction of death. A group of people was waiting for the police to arrive, some distressed, most apprehensive, one surely sharing her intoxicated mixture of excitement and resolve. It had always worried her that someone had to die before she could experience this half-guilty exhilaration. And there would be the part she most enjoyed, the team get-together at the end of the day, when Adam Dalgliesh, herself and Benton Smith would ponder over the evidence, picking up, discarding, or clicking the clues into place as they might the pieces of a jigsaw. But she knew the root of the small sprig of shame. Although they had never spoken of it, she suspected that Dalgliesh felt the same. With this jigsaw, the pieces were the broken lives of men and women.
Just in that reading you gave us, there was a phrase in there that jumps out, sprig of shame. What is that sprig of shame that these detectives feel approaching a case?
Well, I think Kate, who's really a very sensitive woman, does hugely enjoy her job. And it's immensely exciting, that first moment when you see the body and the mysteries before you and you know you're going to solve it. And someone has died, and died horribly. And she is always aware, as is in fact Adam Dalgliesh, they're always aware of the victim and the suffering of the victim.
In fact, there's a passage where Detective Dalgliesh reflects on, you know, how the Secret Service has this sort of, as he puts it, or as you put it, half-ecclesiastical patina of authority bestowed on those who dealt in esoteric mysteries.
Yes.
Another way of saying, you know, people sort of envious of detectives.
Yes. You have quite an aura around you because you are dealing in these matters which other people don't wholly understand and, in fact, haven't access to.
Well, P.D. James, that also reminds us, in the New York Times rave review of your book, they called it a Scrabble lover's joy or something like that because of the way you use those words. Now, you could have just said detectives have an aura. Instead, you said half-ecclesiastical patina of authority. You know, how much do you enjoy using
language? I love using language. I think in English, we both our countries are so lucky because we have the most beautiful, the most versatile, and the richest language in the world to use. And, you know, as a writer, it's a great privilege to use it and to try always to use it better.
Well, which is probably why your policeman is also a poet.
Yes.
An unusual and unexpected detective. This is the 13th in the series. You've sold millions of books. What do you think is the appeal of Adam Dalgliesh?
I think the books appeal to people who do love the mystery. They do want a hero, but they want a hero they can respect. A hero who is a complex and interesting and sensitive human being. I think the attraction, perhaps, of the books as books is the attraction of all mysteries. You know, the story, the puzzle, and the fact that you are going to get a solution. So that, in a sense, the mystery is a small celebration of order and reason. It presupposes we do indeed live in a rational and comprehensible and a moral universe, even if there seems sometimes to be a great deal of evidence that we don't.
Well, this particular mystery, your newest one, has been compared to Agatha Christie's 10 Little Indians, all the suspects isolated on an island. Was that an homage?
No, not at all. No, in fact, when I decided to set it on an island, I thought, well, I hope people don't just think of Agatha Christie, because it's been a very popular setting, I think, for a number of mystery writers, because, you know, you've got your suspects all there neatly together, cut off from ordinary life, and that's extremely convenient.
Oh, sure.
I didn't want to be compared with Agatha Christie.
Oh, okay, then we're not. We won't, except in the finest of ways. But that is a classic mystery form.
Indeed it is, because you can't allow the stain of suspicion to spread too far. You've got to have a little group, because you can only deal with about five or six serious suspects if they're all to be real human beings, you know.
Well, and the victim on this island, poor thing, is Nathan Oliver. He's a writer, not too sympathetic, because he exploits other people in the service of his writing. For example, he gets a reformed alcoholic to fall off the wagon so he can write about it.
Yes.
What are you saying about writers, P.D. James?
Well, Graham Greene said, of course, that writers have a splinter of ice in the heart. And I know what he meant. They stand aside from human experience and suffering and observe it and use it. And I think to an extent that has to be true. But of course this writer is a particularly disagreeable one. He's used it all his life, ruthlessly.
But what about you, P.D. James? Do you have a splinter of ice in your heart? I can't believe it.
I hope it isn't a very big splinter, actually, Robin, if it's there. But I think there is always, in a writer, the ability to stand aside from experience and observe it. For example, if I had a friend who was in great distress over something or other, and I was trying to comfort her, I would be feeling absolutely, genuinely compassionate and loving and would put my arms around her, and all that would be genuine. Part of my mind would be observing myself doing it, observing how her distress manifested itself, so that perhaps 20 years later I had to describe a scene in which somebody was being comforted. That experience would come back.
Well, you're very honest about that. I think some writers might not confess that.
Well, I think one should be honest, and that seems to me that that can happen.
And we understand you began your writing to support your family.
Well, I didn't really, Robin. It's a very understandable misconception. My husband did come back from the war mentally ill, so I had to earn my living, but it wouldn't have been a realistic way of doing it, frankly, even though you couldn't possibly rely on it. I went into the National Health Service and got a job, a good, safe, bureaucratic job, with a cheque at the end of every month. But the books, they did provide, as it were, the jam on the butter.
By the way, I'm sorry to hear about your husband coming home from the war, as you said, mentally
ill.
Yes. How much did that drive you into writing, or...
I don't think it drove me into writing, because I knew from very early childhood that's what I wanted to be. But it did mean I was rather later beginning than I might otherwise have been, because, you know, I had to do the job and go regularly to the office and visit him when he was in hospital. And it wasn't very easy to start that first book.
Well, P.D. James' new book is called The Lighthouse, Another Adam Dalgliesh Mystery. I want to ask you as well, before we let you go, here in the U.S. we've had this incredibly popular trend of CSI, crime scene investigation television programs.
Yes.
Where the latest in technology and computers, and they come in and, you know. Yeah. How do you feel about the new treatment of crime? Do you try to work that into your books, or do you stay with the old-fashioned gumshoe, thinking it through cerebrally?
Well, Robin, you have to. You just have to bring it in. If you're trying to write a realistic one, I mean, we all know about DNA and what the extraordinary effect of DNA has, you know, on criminal investigation. But what I think is important, and I'm sure it is important in real life, is not to forget the old skills of, you know, door-to-door, knocking, talking to people. I mean, it does amaze me how often with horrific crimes, when somebody is at last arrested, it's somebody the police have had on their books or have seen before, you know, and actually interviewed. So I think you need both the technology and the old-fashioned detection skills, which are rooted, really, in an understanding of human beings and how they act.
Author and Baroness P.D. James speak to us in December 2005. She died today at the age of 94.